Can you imagine what it must have been like being in that upper room after Jesus died? Author Alan Patterson puts it this way. Your best friend just got murdered, executed in fact. You could have helped him escape, but you ran instead. You're angry and disappointed, not only in yourself, but in your friend. He said he could handle it. He said he was big enough to avoid it. He said he was God. Or at least that's what you heard. And you are scared. People know you, who you are. You were inseparable from him for years. You witnessed his quote-unquote crimes, and you know you were his accomplice. You are thinking to yourself now, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get out of town? Your hopes have been dashed, and a once bright future is now very dark indeed. Can you picture the scene? The doors are locked, the room is dim. There is a low murmur of voices in the background. And as you sit in the corner and review for the 100th time the contradictions, the injustices, and your own role in the horrible death of your best friend, you are scared. We've all sat in that room, the upper room, running back, like the disciples, to a place of safety. Look around the room as in the gospel today, and what do you see on the face of every person there? Fear. Often coming to know God begins with fear. Why do I say this? Because many of us grow up fearing parents, fearing priests, fearing teachers, fearing those in authority. And so when God comes along and we learn about God, we tend to fear God. And that may be the start of a relationship. In fact, we are supposed to have an awe of God, a healthy fear of God. But for some of us, we get stuck there. We get stuck in fear of God, and we never mature beyond it. I've shared this story with some of you before, but I remember growing up, I had a reoccurring nightmare about my grandmother. It's what I call the tornado dream. My whole family knows about it. I would hear in my dream, I would hear the tornado sirens and go running out into the family room to see what was going on. And my grandmother would motion over to the back sliding door of our old house at Porter and 25th Street near Twin Lakes. And I would look out the back and see a tornado coming. And next thing I know, my grandmother would take me by the back of my shirt, and she would drop kick me like a football out the sliding door, and I would go flying up into the tornado. And just as soon as, about when the tornado would grab me, I would wake up. And I had this dream as far back as I can remember until I was 14 years old. Then I've never had it since. Now, some psychologists would probably have a field day with that dream, but it represented the fear I had of my grandmother. When I was a little kid, she's an old, stern German woman, and I had a lot of fear of her. A lot of us begin life with fear. But I saw an acronym once that really helped alleviate this. It described fear as this: false evidence appearing real. And what I learned is when especially I learned about St. Ignatius and his rules of discernment, is that fear is the work of Satan. Satan always motivates through fear. Why? Because it's false evidence appearing real. He's an angel of light, right? Or masquerades as an angel of light. He's an angel of darkness, but he wants to appear as an angel of light. He's constantly lying to us. He's trying to pull the wool over our eyes constantly. And he does it a lot through fear. But we must move on past this fear if we want to have a true relationship with God. And so the next step becomes forgiveness. Notice what happened in the gospel today. Jesus comes into a locked room surrounded by a bunch of people who had run away from him, all except John, right? John and Mary, the two Marys. But all these other disciples are in this upper room, locked in there, and they'd all run away, especially Peter. The leader of them all had denied Christ three times and then ran and hid while Jesus was crucified. So what do you think they're going to feel when Jesus comes into the room? I mean, if I were Peter, the first thing I would be is scared of Jesus. What's he going to say to me? And you could expect Jesus to maybe come into the room and say, you know, guys, where were you? What happened? Why'd you leave me? Some friends you are. And yet, what are the first words out of his mouth when he comes into the room? Peace be with you. Guys, that's the kind of greeting God gives you still today. He doesn't come into the room and shake his head at you or shake his finger at you and say, what a disappointment you are. When we mess up, we don't need to be responding to that fear. We need to be responding to his forgiveness. He greets the disciples with a greeting of forgiveness and peace, and he offers you that same greeting today when you have fallen. Especially this weekend, we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday. This beautiful image that you see before you was revealed to Sister Faustina Kowalska. And these rays coming from the heart of Jesus are his mercy. And she asked him, what do these two colors represent? And he said, one ray is the mercy that falls upon those who are ready to receive it. And the other ray is the mercy that is wasted. So many of us waste God's mercy out of fear. Fear of confession, fear of what we've done, fear of never being able to change our pattern of sin. Don't let fear rule your life. Let this mercy, this offer of forgiveness, be constantly at your disposal. And this is what brings us to faith. It's interesting that Thomas wanted to touch Jesus. And I was talking to the kids the other Friday in school. And they were asking about Thomas. They said, why did Thomas doubt? Which was a very interesting question. And we started talking about the story of Thomas and how he wanted to put his fingers in Jesus' wounds. And all the kids were kind of creeped out by that. I was too, honestly. But you know, that's how real Thomas needed things to be. And I think some of us, we probably in a very similar sense, we want things to be that real in our relationship with God too, right? We may not have a burning desire to stick our fingers inside his wounds, but nonetheless, we still want him to be real to us. We would love to be able to sit down with Jesus in the flesh and talk to him. We would love to be hugged by Jesus. And just as much as Jesus is willing to respond to Thomas's need for physical intimacy and for real touch, real contact, Jesus wants to give you the same consolation. But if we're hung up in a relationship of fear, guys, we never move on to forgiveness and we never come to real faith. And real faith is about a relationship. God is defined by relationship, isn't he? We believe as Christians that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you read all the theology over the last 2,000 years about the Holy Trinity, it's all based on the relationship of God the Father, to God the Son, to God the Holy Spirit. God is defined by a relationship, and he wants the same with you. In fact, what he invites you to, what heaven will be, is being part of that relationship. Being caught up in the relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to each other, a divine relationship. And that's what God wants for you. If you look around that upper room, and in fact, if you look around the church today, you will see people in all three of these stages, if you will. Some of you are stuck in fear because many of us have not yet accepted the forgiveness of Jesus. We haven't moved beyond that idea that God is our Father and He's standing there in condemnation of us. You will see people who have accepted God's forgiveness or are struggling with it. You will see people that have come to true faith, who have accepted a relationship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and live in that unconditional love of the Holy Trinity. When I was 14 years old, we had moved from Porter and 25th out west to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton because my little brother came along and kicked us out of our house. And I had this dream one last time with my grandma in it. I've never had it since. It occurred as usual. I ran in, tornado sirens going. She kicked me out of the house. I went flying up into the air like a football. And this time the tornado actually caught me and swirled me around a couple times. I was right over the Arkansas River at the time. And it hurled me back down and I toppled my grandmother. And then the two of us, I remember, we got up and we held hands and we went outside onto 25th Street and we started helping everybody clean up after the tornado. Now again, some psychologists would probably love to analyze this, but I can tell you what changed. What changed is at 14 years old, I finally realized that my grandmother wasn't somebody to fear, but somebody to love. And I lived in fear of her so many years because I was afraid that she wouldn't forgive me for the bad things I did as a kid. I finally moved beyond fear and past forgiveness to a relationship. And brothers and sisters, that is exactly what God invites you to today. And as you look at this image of the divine mercy, don't see a God who stands in condemnation to you, but a God who offers you forgiveness so that you can have a relationship with Him. Where are you living right now? Are you living in fear? Are you living in forgiveness? Or are you living in true faith? A relationship with your God.